Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It is Tuesday, Election Day, November 8th, 2022. And welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for your belief and your trust in this platform. And, you know, as I mentioned Election Day, I just want to say this. I saw some of the comments yesterday about yesterday's program. I got some emails saying, well, many guests say don't vote. It's an exercise in futility. So I'm going against some of the guests. And I don't know of anyone who came right out and said, hey, maybe they have. I don't know. Maybe I'm just in my own little world here. But if you are to exercise, and this is my view, if you are to exercise your righteous anger, or at least have that ability to do so, you better damn well have tried, pulled out all the stops, everything, tried everything you could, legally, morally, ethically, before you get angry and, take the next step. And that includes voting, even if you believe the system, like I do, the system is rigged. I get that. But what are you going to do? You're just going to sit down and not vote? Is that what you're going to do? Well, you're certainly not acting like a beast. You know, a lot of people, and this is something that I've adopted, I suppose. Everyone wants to be a beast until it's time to do what real beasts do. Everyone's got that. What's that saying? You know, something about a plan. You got a good plan until you get punched in the mouth. I can't remember who said that. But that's what I see happening here. And I just want to just verify. I just want to make sure people understand. Look, it's God. Here's the flow chart. God, man, or we the people. Constitution, government. Under the government, well, the government creates the public servants. There are public servants. They're not kings that lord over us. No. They work for us. And it's about damn time they understand that. I don't give a damn what their bloodline is. I don't give a damn what their last name is. I don't give a damn how rich or poor, how influential they are. I don't care. You work for me. All right, but it's time we wake up to the responsibilities we have to liberty. A couple of things on the agenda here. I've got a very special program planned out for you. I want you to really stay with us to the end because it's really going to be great. We are pre-recording this, hopefully for an early release. I haven't talked to Eric the Tech about this, but I've signed up to be, yes, a poll watcher, and then separately a poll challenger, just to show you I'm not lying. Here's my, I think I blacked that out, the address out. There's my watcher certificate. I'll be leaving later today to monitor the polling location. And there it is. Just so people know that I'm not lying, not saying an untruth. So there you go. Clean now. You don't have to do that anymore. All right. Sam Andrews, Freedom Center USA, is one of two people I know right now that has actually read the 1,050-page document. The I'll just say this. On November 4th, last Friday, the Republican members of the House Judiciary Committee released a 1,050-page report that extensively details the current weaponization of our nation's Department of Justice and FBI under the leadership of Merrick Garland, the Garden Gnome, and Christopher Wray, director of the FBI. Of course, the damning and provable investigative findings detailed by the report received virtually no media coverage whatsoever. There it is, right there on your screen. And as I, like Sam Andrews, painstakingly read through these 1,050 pages. Yes, he did. Yes, I did. How many others have? I don't know. I personally was troubled by the findings as they relate to the 1958 book, The Naked Communist, written by Willard Cleon Skousen. Now, just for the benefit of Wisconsin Christian News subscribers, I wrote a very special column about this, and here is a sneak peek at that column right here, Unmasking the Naked Communist. This is my submission to Wisconsin Christian News as a contributor and a columnist. And you don't have to. Thanks. Okay, so, but for those people who are unfamiliar with Skousen's work, it's a 358-page book written back in 1958 that lists 45 communist goals. They were read in the Constitutional Record back in 1963, some 10 months before the assassination of JFK, by Representative A.S. Herlong of Florida. But as I went through this report, I kept thinking, my goodness, the Department of Justice and the FBI have been weaponized. I was consistently drawn, and of course you know this, and we talk about this, but I was consistently drawn to the statements made by Barack Hussein Obama and many of those involved in his inner circle before, during, and after his 8 years inside the Oval Office, many of the statements matching Obama's fundamental transformation of America, including his current third term, where you've got Biden, the, you know, Joey potato head, Joey six plugs or Joey two scoops, whatever you prefer, in the White House. But the report is extremely troubling. And this is what Sam Andrews, among other things, he's agreed, what a guy, he's agreed to hang with me at this inconvenient time. Again, this is, God bless that man. And God bless Eric the Tech for doing what he does. As we enter this election day. By the way, early reports coming from Maricopa County. There's some shenanigans going on there. I'm gonna show you that. I want to, Stan on, I just want to say this. 1965, November 8th, so what is that, 57 years ago, Dorothy Kilgallen was found dead in her apartment. Now, I don't know how many people know who Dorothy Kilgallen is. Let's go ahead and very quickly pay her tribute by going to video clip number one, all of these can be found at HagmanReport.com in the program description box. Open it up. You'll see the clips for today and previous episodes as well. But clip number one, this just a brief clip to kind of tell you who Dorothy Kilgallen was. It's less than a minute long. Here it is.
With movie star Marilyn Monroe. After Kennedy's death in Dallas, Kilgallen went to Texas to cover the case. Jack Ruby, the bar owner who shot Lee Harvey Oswald on national TV, gave her private interviews. She told her friends that she was writing a book that would tell the story of who really killed Kennedy. That book was never written. In 1965, soon after returning from Dallas, Kilgallen was found dead in her home. She was sitting up in bed, reading a bestseller that her friends said she'd already read. She didn't have her reading glasses, without which she couldn't have read the book anyway. And her notes for all the interviews on Kennedy, they were never found. Initially, the story was she died of a heart attack. However, further tests indicated a curious alcohol drug overdose, some said similar to Marilyn Monroe's. Lewis Harris.
I have talked to people who were close to, interviewed, and had a lot of dealings with Dorothy Kilgallen, including Mark Shaw, attorney author about the Kennedy assassination. And I'll say this. It's my investigative belief Kilgallen was murdered because of what she knew, what she was going to uncover and publish. And it hasn't changed. Nothing has changed over the last, 57 years. With me, Sam Andrews, Freedom Center USA. That's Freedom Center USA. Sam Andrews, one of the smartest guys I know about firearms, about logistics with firearms. That's a bad, awkward thing to say about a lot of things and about current events. Sam, thanks for joining me and thanks for hanging with me this hour.
Doug, it's great to be with you.
Yeah, it's great to be with you as well. Look good. It's been a while.
Thank you, sir. It's always good to talk about the important things like freedom and our Father in heaven. And the things that really matter.
Let me ask you, it's Election Day 2022. What are your thoughts in terms of where we're going to end up tonight, tomorrow night, a week from tonight, whatever, in terms of the voting?
Well, like I brought up before, Virginia did an excellent job with a team of hundreds of lawyers to mitigate voter fraud in the last election. And for the offices of governor, lieutenant governor, and attorney general, they had almost a 15 percentage point swing in 4 years. Now, you and I know that this country is quite polarized. People are not typically going to swap sides easily or quickly. But just the implementation of a team of lawyers to mitigate voter fraud seemed to have a dramatic effect on what the election said was the will of the voters. Now, we're a big country, 50 different states. Elections at this point in time. And
54 if you're Biden and 57 if you're Obama, but who's counting?
Well, you know, I say math is really hard for 4 out of every 3 Democrats. If you don't get that, you're probably a Democrat. All right.
I like that.
Okay. So states run the elections. Elections are individual state events. So we are having 50 plus individual state events. Now, each state is different. Each state has a different level of strategy to mitigate voter fraud this time around. Each state has a different level of effort. And so what you're going to see is you're going to see states that made a tremendous effort to mitigate voter fraud. Maybe they got rid of electronic machines, went to paper ballots like the whole country of France did. Or maybe they had people sitting on these ballot boxes so people couldn't stuff them. Maybe they had friends that were postal inspectors that they had secretly looking for mail-in ballot fraud in the post offices. So depending on what was done, maybe they have people at the polling sites, at the precincts, videoing people walking inside and getting a head count from the beginning of the day to the end to use as a sanity check on how many votes come out of that precinct. Maybe they had people checking the Wi-Fi around the precinct and then going inside the precinct and seeing if there were additional Wi-Fi connections available and screenshotting their phones to collect that evidence. But depending on how shrewd, how deeply involved, and how disciplined true Americans are in mitigating voter fraud in this state will determine the outcome of that particular state. So we're going to have states that did a good job mitigating voter fraud this time around, and we're going to get an election that closely approximates the will of the people. And then we're going to have states that didn't do a good job, whose candidates were leading by a tremendous amount, who used electronic vote, counting machines and electronic ballot machines, and who allowed mail-in ballots a week or two after the election, a la Pennsylvania. And the conservatives are not going to get the results that they expected, nor will the will of the people in a democratic republic be accurately reflected in those states.
Okay.
Now, I think
that the
Republicans are going to win big, because I think a lot of states are paying attention to voter fraud. And I also think that the Democrats are going to pervade the equivalent of a 2.5-year-old's temper tantrum for the next 3 months until people are sworn in. They're going to do everything they can to disrupt this country.
See, and that's what I'm worried about, or not worried. That's what I'm looking for, Sam. I expect no matter what happens today, I don't care if Mickey Mouse takes the day and every, you know, it doesn't matter to me. There will be chaos subsequently between now and January and even after January, but that's just me. Go ahead and expand on that.
Well, you've heard the saying, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. I made a lot of friends in Ferguson. New Black Panther Party, old Black Panther Party, Antifa, BLM, Democratic Committee Chair people. Okay. Honestly, most of these people are the enemy of the American people. They're the enemy of freedom. Now, what I'm hearing from my friends is there's tremendous activity and staging for violence with some of these organizations when the Democrats don't get their way electorally. So I would not expect peace and tranquility when the Republicans take over. The other thing is, a tremendous number of Trump-supported candidates made it through the primaries. And so we're going to elect a different type of Republican to the Congress. Not so much the Senate. We've still got the old guard that are deeply entrenched, the Mitch McConnells, the Mitt Romneys of the world. These people need to go. And if we can get guys like Jim Jordan, if you read that 1,000-page report, you saw the signatures. You saw the letters to the various agencies telling them to preserve documents and to get ready for an investigation, not to destroy evidence. It's honestly the first time in my lifetime, I guess there's one exception, maybe the Ruby Ridge investigation, where the Congress actually is performing or hinting at performing their constitutional responsibility of oversight over these corrupt agencies. So the Jim Jordans and the other congressmen that signed that 1,000-page report, put their names on the line. There's two things you can take from that. One is they're not afraid of the FBI. But more importantly, why are they not afraid of the FBI and the DOJ? And I'll tell you why, because they're clean. The FBI has dirt on everybody they can get dirt on. The NSA has dirt on every politician they can get dirt on. And that's why you don't see their oversight responsibilities, Congress and Senate, being executed with authority and with honesty. And when you see brave men and women as congressmen sign a report like this 1,000-page report, understand in no uncertain terms, these are honest Americans that chose not to fear the FBI and to do their jobs. And to me, these people are American heroes.
From what I read on that report, that's a compilation. The information in that 1,050-page report is roughly a compilation of roughly some 24+ whistleblowers. And the thing that struck me, and again, I'm interested in your take on this, if you've got such a hostile environment in the DOJ and the FBI, and you've got whistleblowers coming forth in this environment, what's it going to be like when things change? When the when the House goes to the Republicans, and there are actual legitimate investigative committees, not that this wasn't, but where they have the power to compel in others to, they've got, you know, the power behind them. Go ahead.
Not everybody understands the mechanisms by which Congress and the Senate work. So if you're a good boy or a good girl and you play the party line, you get appointed to committees that have power, committees that have influence, committees that have information so you can inside trade and enrich yourself. That's how the game's played. You toe the party line, you vote the way we tell you to, we'll put you on committees that will benefit you personally. This is Washington, D.C. I've worked in D.C. I know all about this game. This game has been explained to me by many, many congressmen and heads of committees. Now, when the Republicans take over the House, which they will do, that gives them control of the committees. That means that instead of Democrats being chair of the committees, the Republicans can now elect a chair to each of these committees. It changes everything if the Republicans decide to do their jobs. And the American people need to hold these Republicans' feet to the fire.
Bingo.
And hold these committee chairmen feet to the fire. You know, there's been a lot of talk about Matt Gaetz becoming the Speaker of the House. Not a fan. Matt's a nice guy. Okay. He's probably a conservative. He's probably a Christian. He probably cares a little bit about human rights. Not the strongest guy in the world, but certainly not the weakest Republican. I wouldn't call him a rhino. But Jim Jordan, this guy was a national caliber wrestler in college. Check his ears out. This guy's a fighter. This guy's got backbone. This guy's not afraid to go toe-to-toe with anybody. This guy's clean. The FBI is going to have to kill him to shut him up. Okay? And that's my fear for these politicians, just like the person, the woman you spoke of. The truth can be a very dangerous thing to tyrants. They don't want that kind of thing exposed. So, at some point, we're going to have to get control of these committees. The people are going to have to speak up and demand that these congressmen not fire these FBI and DOJ criminals, that they put them in jail. We must convict these people of the crimes they've committed against the American citizens. This is what's important. And if Jim Jordan becomes a Speaker of the House, and he appoints clean people to the Judiciary Committee and some of these other important committees, we can get to the bottom of this corruption. We can put these people in jail where they belong, and we can start to restore our republic, because right now it's gone. The American people are not in control. And taking control of your school boards, taking control of your city councils, taking control of your state government, is going to be a stepping stone to ultimately getting control of these intel agencies and these federal agencies that are rogue and complete criminal organizations. When you read this report, this 1,000-page report, and you see that the FBI and the DOJ have taken control from a centralized location in Washington, D.C. of criminal investigations, and that they refuse to investigate human trafficking or kidnapping of children, or pedophilia, but they're going to run a congressman down and steal his phone without probable cause or suspicion of a crime, you start to realize how criminal these people are. Now, I gave an example to a guy on a radio show. I do a show with John Moore every Monday on Republic Broadcast Network for 2 hours.
Great, great segment, by the way. Great part of the John Moore radio show. Go ahead.
Thank you. It's called, he calls it Firearms Monday, and we talk about firearms and politics and freedom. Now, I posed a question to John one day, and it was right after I'd been to a James Taylor concert in downtown St. Louis off of Grand Avenue. And James Taylor played the guitar, flaming liberal, great guitar player though. And he played the guitar for 3.5 hours, wonderful concert. And I gave him the example of, you're leaving a concert with your wife at 11 o'clock at night. parking spread out like it is on Grand Avenue. There's parking lots 3-4 blocks away you have to park in. There's no parking garage. So you're walking to your car after the concert. You look down in this dark alley and you see two black teenagers raping a 7-year-old girl. Now you've got a concealed carry handgun on you. So what are you going to do as a child of God, as an American citizen, as a concealed carry holder, and as a person who does not approve of raping 7-year-old girls? Well, the answer is really simple.
Dispatch with extreme prejudice.
Exactly. Yeah, you're going to stop the attack.
Yes.
Now, to tell you how indoctrinated even patriotic Americans are, I said, all right, now let me switch it up a little, John. You're walking home from the concert, going back to your car. You look down a dark alley and you see two uniformed police officers raping a 7-year-old girl and you're carrying a pistol. What are you going to do?
Interesting question.
John Moore went, he paused. Why did he pause? Because he's been indoctrinated, doesn't even realize it. And I told him, John, I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to pull your pistol and you're going to kill those two fake cops as quick as you can pull the trigger. Because I don't care about the color of your pajamas. I don't really care if they're blue. And I don't really care if you have a badge. I don't really care. I don't care about the fancy jewelry that's star-shaped on your chest. If you're breaking the law, you are a common criminal. You are not law enforcement.
Amen to that.
And when every American has this attitude that the color of your pajamas and the shape of the jewelry pinned to your chest does not matter once you start breaking the law, we will fix this country.
And Tad, what you said, I don't think we need to care about why the conditions that led up to that. We're not social workers, okay? Nor should we expect law and order to be carried out by social workers, okay? We are a nation of laws that need to be respected. And you're 100% accurate. I don't give a damn if they're wearing, you know, if they're wearing general uniforms, they're going, because that's not right. It doesn't matter. If you would shoot, I mean, let me just say this. As an example, if you would shoot two black men or two Asian men or two green men, it doesn't matter. You would shoot two men in uniform if the situation called for it. So,
if you have moral clarity.
If you have more, thank you. That's exactly right.
If you have moral clarity, you understand that we are all equal as children of God to our Creator.
Yep.
And if you have moral justification to stop a crime when it involves two 16-year-old white men, then you have moral justification to stop that same exact crime when it involves two uniformed police officers or an FBI agent or someone who's destroying evidence, committing felonies, murdering people in Waco, shooting a woman holding a baby in Idaho, or any of the other hundreds of crimes the FBI has committed and never been held accountable for.
Amen, brother.
They promoted Lon Horiuchi after shooting Vicky Weaver. That ought to tell you all you need to know.
And that, for those who don't know, you're talking about Ruby Ridge, where that man shot a woman to death while holding her infant son. Am I correct?
You are absolutely correct. She was standing in the doorway of the cabin where she lived, her home, the front door of her home, holding her newborn baby. And a sniper who has absolutely zero excuse, and I'm a trained sniper, and I've trained over 7,000 snipers in my career, so I feel qualified to speak about this very issue. A trained sniper has all of the skills and requisite training to never shoot an innocent person. There is no excuse for shooting Vicky Weaver. As a matter of fact, in our basic firearms classes, in the first hour, we discuss the rules of safety with a firearm. And number four in your manual, if you train at the Freedom Center, says you must know what is between you and the target, what is beyond your target, and what is to the left and right of your target. Now, if you can hold a newbie with a gun responsible for that safety rule, at the other end of the spectrum, experience-wise, are snipers. They have tremendous vision. They have tremendous reflexes. They have tremendous coordination. And they have hundreds of hours of training with firearms. And they are experts with rifles, optics, and shooting moving targets. And they have absolutely no excuse for hitting an innocent person. None.
That's right. And I want to put this out there right now. In fact, this might be a good time to really get into this. For those people who don't know, folks, the Hagmann Report, we talk about the problems, but we're about solutions. One of the solutions that I believe very strongly in is your ability to survive what is coming. Now, if you personally can't physically engage in any kind of active situation, then I'm sure you know of someone who does. So what we've done, what the Hagmann Report has done, because we care about all of you, is, if I can use this phrase, teamed up with Sam Andrews of Freedom Center USA to assist people in getting the training necessary to do what is necessary as patriotic, conservative Christian men and women to protect yourself and to protect your loved ones. There's the Hagmann Special Handgun Rifle Training with Sam Andrews from the Freedom Center USA right there on your screen. There it is. Folks, go to HagmannReport.com/training to read more about it, for more information, or to register. Send us an email at training@HagmannReport.com. This is the best, in my view. Sam has constructed the best of the best of the best training centers and training programs. This is the best of the best, and we've heard nothing but good things about this. Sam, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I think it's critical that people understand how important training is. We had a student, a Hagmann's listener student, this weekend. At the end of every course, we ask for feedback from our students, and we ask them two important questions. One is, if you could change anything about this course to make it better, what would that be? The second question we ask is, what is the most valuable thing that you believe you will take away from this training? And I got a really interesting answer that I hadn't gotten in such clarity. And a gentleman named David, who brought two of his sons to the training, gave me the answer to that second question. What he said was, his answer was, I have spent an enormous amount of money on firearms and optics and handguns and rifles and ammunition. And I falsely believed before I came here that I would be able to successfully defend my home and defend my family and my neighborhood. What I have learned here is that was a false belief system. And the skills that I've been given in the last 4 days have made me realize two things. One is, I now have a legitimate chance of surviving an attack and defending myself with these weapons. The other thing I realized is, I need more training. I'm not 100% there yet. I'm a lot more confident than I was, and I've got a legit chance of surviving an attack, but I need to continue my education and training. I had no chance before I came here. And that was a very honest, very intelligent, very logical, accurate assessment of where he was before he got to the class and where he was after we finished the training.
And I have to say this, that's a very sobering assessment, self-assessment. When you realize that you think you've got it down, you've got the weapons, you got the ammo, you got some training, but then you realize, wait a second, I'm not going to last. and the situations that you are presented with in the training course are varied, many, and extremely practical. And I thank you for that. Before, hold that thought, because I want to, you know, just like everything else, when I find something that I like to share. Today's episode is sponsored by Honey, the easy way to save when shopping on your iPhone or your computer. Folks, we found Honey. We use it. We benefit by it. We love it. I don't know how you feel about online shopping, but sometimes to me, you know, I worry. When you're in a store, you can actually look at prices and compare prices and such, and you worry about getting a good deal. With Honey, now you don't have to do that. I oftentimes, too, you know, the promo code, that just haunts me. Looking for a promo code, or it used to haunt me. No more. Thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. Honey is a free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. So you can rest assured you're getting the best deal possible when you use Honey. Now, here's how it works. Just imagine you're shopping on one of your favorite sites. When you check out, the Honey button appears. All you have to do is click Apply Coupons. Wait a few seconds as Honey searches for coupons, any coupons it can find for that site. If Honey finds a working coupon, you'll watch the prices drop. We've done this many times with food, really, from everything from food delivery services to studio equipment. In fact, our camera, our dock camera, we saved at least 10%. The numbers, I don't have the numbers handy with me, 10% because we used Honey at checkout. So that's, I've got to tell you, this is one of the greatest things you can do for yourself and tell others about it as well. Honey just doesn't work on a desktop. It works on your iPhone. Just activate it on Safari on your phone and save on the go. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid in supporting this show. And again, I've never recommended something I don't personally use myself, believe in, or have found to really benefit others. And this does. So here's the deal. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/Hagman. This is important. Go to joinhoney.com/Hagman. joinhoney.com/Hagman. Two N's on Hagman. Link will be in the program description box. Sam Andrews hanging with me this episode and sharing a lot of information, important information about the real world. And Sam, you read the investigative report that came out last Friday, 1,050 pages. You know how bad things are inside the Department of Justice, inside the FBI. You know how bad things are on the ground because you've been on the ground many cases. And the training, the work that you do is so important for people to take advantage of. This can save your life and the life of the people, the lives of the people you care about. So go ahead and continue, Sam.
I give the example all the time of I like to play the guitar. I'm not a guitarist. I'm a pianist, but I love the guitar. I've been doing that for the last 3-4 years, making guitars and playing guitars. I have some really nice, expensive guitars. And I ask people all the time, would you rather have me play a $10,000 guitar or have Eric Clapton play a $400 guitar? And I promise you, you would rather hear Eric Clapton play that $400 guitar. And what we're really talking about is the skill of the musician, not the instrument. I have many young men here in Lebanon, Missouri, the local people that come in my shop, and I ask them, are you ready if things get ugly? And they look me straight in the eye and they say, oh yeah, I got my 30-06. I said, is that what you're planning on defending your home and your neighborhood with? Oh yeah. I said, you got enough ammo for that? They say, oh yeah, I got plenty of ammo. I got a box and a half left from last deer season. Oh boy. Okay.
I'm ready to go.
Less from last. Okay. Let me ask you a question, son. Have you ever shot a deer in the dark? Well, no, but I've never missed a deer with my 30-06. Okay. Does the deer shoot back? Oh, come on. Deer don't shoot back. You know that. I said, yeah, I know that, but I'm asking these questions for a reason. Because if you don't have a thermal sight, an AR-15 or a semi-auto weapon that's accurate, and a thermal sight on top and a suppressor on the muzzle so you don't flash, you're going to die in the first 3 seconds of a firefight. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And then they get this shocked look. Like, why is he saying this to me? And it's an uncomfortable truth. But if you don't know how to use cover, if your muzzle flashes, if you don't have sound suppression and flash suppression, if you don't have the ability to locate live targets at night, by the way, night vision doesn't work. I can teach a guy in 20 minutes how to hide from night vision. Anybody with a modicum of fieldcraft skills can hide from night vision. A ghillie suit will hide you quite effectively from night vision. But you know what? It's very difficult to hide from thermal. So what does every American need? They need an M4 or an AR-15 with a good suppressor, with ammo that doesn't flash, with a good thermal sight on it. If you don't have those things, you can't defend squat. Because the bottom line is 95% of aggression happens after dark. And if you can't operate your weapon system and fight by feel, so many of our students, for example, they go to do a magazine change and their head goes, and they look down for their next magazine.
Yep.
Let's say you're fighting in the dark. Are you going to see where your magazines are in the dark? No. Sorry, doesn't work that way. So we don't allow our students in training to look at their battle belt or their pouches to figure out where they're going to pull the next magazine. We teach them to do it by feel and to keep their sights out on the target so that they see threats. Why is that so important? It's really important to learn how to do that because it's the threat you don't see that kills you.
And there it is. Yep.
Sorry for the inconvenient truth, but your deer hunting skills are not going to help you when it comes time to be a patriot.
You know, I wonder how many people have been shot at. I've been shot at twice. Okay. Which ridiculous situations, but nonetheless. And I'll tell you something, okay? It's an experience. It's not like TV. It's nothing like TV.
Especially the first time.
The first time, yeah. It took me about a week to really get my head right. Maybe it's still not right. I don't know. But I'll tell you what. So what you are saying is so critically important for the times in which we now are, at least in my view, are approaching. And if you, again, folks, look, if this is not for you, stop being so egocentric. If this isn't for you, but you do have family you care about, you do have people you care about, find someone that would act on your behalf. And this is the place to go. This is a solution to a problem. Unfortunately, I think we're all going to face. I don't look, folks. I don't know about you, but I don't have a good feeling coming out of this election. I really don't. And even further down the road. So Sam, you know. And by the way, you just so people know. Maybe I should frame this as a question. Do you build your own weapons and sell them to the public?
Absolutely. Okay. I'm an engineer by trade, mechanical engineer with an undergrad degree in physics and business administration. And I have been building weapons since 1989. Building custom weapons. I've built more custom ARs than anybody in the world. We make them in 22 different calibers, semi-auto rifles. I just started custom building pistols because I couldn't find anything that I was satisfied with. I'm not a fan of building pistols. It's not my favorite thing to do. I love to build rifles. But we build long-range precision weapons that, and I think there's a picture on the website of two of them together pointed at each other. That shoot almost 3,000 yards. It's called a 30 Wolf. It's a cartridge I developed for Naval Special Operations. I helped develop the powdered tungsten bullet technology that SEAL Team 6 uses and that the Secret Service used to guard and secure our president's life. I've been involved at the forefront of weapons technology for over 30 years, and I've developed some very unique things, both from a product development standpoint and a tactic, technique, and procedure standpoint. I also designed the R2 reticle and the MOA reticle for Night Force. It's a minute of angle reticle. Back in the 90s, I was preparing for an expedition to go around the world with General Chuck Yeager and the MiG pilot that stole the MiG. He was the chief test pilot of the MiG Foxback program. His name is Victor Belenko. So Jack Wheeler and Victor Belenko and General Chuck Yeager, Dr. Jack Wheeler, the author of the Reagan Doctrine, those three men hired me to secure an expedition to go around the world. And it was a fascinating thing. And I didn't really feel like I had a scope that was optimal. And so I spent 3 months doing research on trajectories and other things. And I realized something. Back in the early 90s, there were no scopes that actually clicked in minute of angle and had a reticle in a minute of angle scale. We had mil-dot scopes where they stamped a mil-dot on a wire and then soldered that to the ring of the lens closest to the ocular lens on the erector tube assembly. But we didn't have a lot of laser-etched reticles, and we didn't have a scope that unit of measure on the reticle was the same as the unit of measure on your elevation and windage knobs. And I called Jeff Huber at Night Force, and I said, this is absolutely insane. I need a minute of angle reticle, and I need quarter-minute clicks. I want to operate in the same units with the knob and the reticle.
You were looking for consistency for those people who are...
Yeah, it's nonsensical to... So we have inches. You know, everybody knows what an inch, a foot, and a yard is if you're an American. And we have a metric system if you know what a millimeter, a centimeter, a meter, and a kilometer is. So we have two different systems of linear measurement. Most people don't know we have two different systems of angular measurement.
Ah.
So we have milradians and we have degrees. So when you look at your GPS on your phone or in your car and you see longitude and latitude, you'll see that in degrees, minutes, and seconds. Everybody knows what a 90 degree angle is. They know what a 45 degree angle is. They know what a 10 degree angle is. And they probably know about what a 1 degree angle is. It's very narrow. Well, a minute of angle is simply 1/60th of 1 degree. It's 60 little angles added together that equal 1 degree. A second of angle is 1/60th of 1 minute. And that is the system of measurement that we use on our GPS systems.
Okay. Now,
the metric system has angular measurement as well. They have something called milradians. So if you buy a scope now that clicks in mils, it probably clicks in tenths of a mil, which is about 0.344 of a minute. And if you buy a scope that has a minute of angle reticle, it probably clicks in one quarter of a minute adjustments. Some target scopes click in 1/8 of a minute, but that's relatively unusual unless you're into target scopes that are designed for 1,000-yard shooting. So understanding back in the 90s that the tactical scopes all had milradians in the reticle and all had quarter-minute clicks on the knobs, I just harassed the living daylights out of Jeff Huber to give me something that used the same unit of measure and to do it in minutes because it's a finer scale. If you want to build a house, you don't want to do it with a tape measure that has 1-inch marks on it. That those 1/8-inch and 1/16-inch and 1/32-inch marks come in really handy when you're cutting lumber. And in the same sense, when you're trying to shoot something at 2,000 yards, you don't want 1 mil as an adjustment. That's 3.44 times bigger than 1 minute. The finer scale is more effective at long range. It's more effective for passive ranging. And it's more effective for using hold points to make elevation adjustments so you can take a quick, accurate shot and don't have to dial your elevation knob.
Right. And you're the guy that caused the
revolution.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it started with Night Force. It was me convincing Jeff Huber to do something different. And I called him and asked him to make these reticles for the expedition around the world. He told me no. I called him back. He told me no again. I called him back a third time. I said, Jeff, how many of these things do I have to buy? Do I have to order 50, 100, 150? What's the economic order quantity to etch a different reticle? He already had scopes that clicked a quarter MOA, but I wanted a reticle with 1 minute spacing on the scale. And finally, I embarrassed him into saying, this was about 1993, 94. I embarrassed him into saying, you don't have to order a bunch of them. I'll just make one. Send me the design. And I sent him the design, and it became the most popular reticle Night Force sold for over 20 years. It outsold all their other reticles combined. And the guy never gave me a commission. He did send me a couple free scopes, but he never gave me a commission on the design.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Okay. All right. But I'm glad you did that, because now there's this standardized, I suppose, consistent device.
My ex-wife berated me for not making Jeff sign a contract to pay me for my design. I told her, absolutely not. This scope is going to go in the hands of SF warriors, and men are going to come home alive to their families because this is getting done. I am absolutely not going to ask for money. I want this thing out everywhere to every American fighting overseas as a sniper. And I'm not going to ask for a commission. I just want it done. And she just lambasted me for being a moron.
But the bigger fact is, you saved some lives.
It absolutely saved lives, and I got the scope I wanted to develop other products. So it was a great thing. It wasn't about the money.
Okay, and just so people know, again, we're about solutions, and the time period in which we are entering. Again, if you read that 1,000-page report and see how bad things are, after today, I am absolutely certain you're going to see things happen that you probably never expected to happen. I think we're entering into this, as I said yesterday, the most perilous time in American history, modern American history. So it's best that you have the training and have the hardware. This is why we've teamed up. And Freedom Center USA, go to HagmanReport.com/training and ask questions. Get involved. Do something. Again, if you can't do it, you know somebody who can. So, and we're doing our best to help people along to get this moving, because you know what, folks? It's going to be up to us. Change will be up to us. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I think it's really important to understand how dangerous a period we are entering. We have some globalist tyrants. The FBI and the DOJ and the NSA are all part of this. Keep in mind, the FBI and the NSA have all the information they need of voter fraud from 2020. They have phone conversations. They have eavesdrop conversations from people's phone and other spy devices. They have information from license plates that have been collected for people involved in voter fraud going to and from ballot boxes, stuffing ballots. You wouldn't believe the data the deep state has on voter fraud. And they have been silent on it. Why? Because they are complicit in it. And I know Doug's not real big on the election, not as hopeful as I am. And I'll tell you why I'm probably a little more hopeful than Doug is. Because when they put out that 1,000-page report, they saw the polls before they did it. They were sending the agencies a message: preserve the evidence, because we're coming for you. And if you don't preserve the evidence, we'll get you for destroying evidence.
You know, I really didn't look at it that way, but now that you mentioned it, that's a good point. For those folks, for those in not in the know, and again, you're not going to see this on any media. At least I haven't. But last Friday, the Republican members of the House Judiciary Committee issued a 1,050-page report. It's going to be available, the PDF, at HagmanReport.com. You can read it for yourself. about the weaponization of the Department of Justice and the FBI. You need to read that. And I never thought about it that way, though. Very interesting.
Yeah, if the Jim Jordans of the Congress and the people that signed that report didn't believe that they were going to be able to win, take over these committees, and go after this corruption, which is what the people of America are demanding right now. And if you're not demanding it of your congressman, you should be. But if they didn't believe that we were going to take control, they would not have risked releasing this report to the public. So I'm a little more positive than a lot of people on this election. Now, do I think they're going to try? The Democrats are going to have a little 2.5-year-old temper fit and try and tie this thing up in the courts for months? Of course they are. They claim that our elections were the most secure in history in 2020, and they're going to do a 180 flip when they get their butts kicked today and tonight, and they're going to claim that this election is illegitimate. Because when we win, exactly, when we win, it's a great election. When the people speak and say they don't want us anymore, we have an agenda, so we're going to deny the will of the people, and we're going to claim fraud. And this is the most important thing to understand about people who unlawfully seek power over other human beings. They can only rule by fraud, deception, and force. And when the fraud and deceptions are exposed, which is what's happening right now, it's exactly what happened in the 1,000-page report. When the frauds and deceptions are exposed, the only thing the tyrants have left is use of force.
So, hence here we are.
I fear for people that oppose the deep state, like Donald Trump and like Jim Jordan and some of these other brave congressmen that signed their names to this report. I fear for them and their families. Keep in mind, the reason, and I believe this in my heart deeply because I've looked at it closely, the judges would not hear election fraud cases from 2020 for one simple reason. There was a judge that pushed this conviction of Epstein. They pushed it. They killed her husband and her son, and they sent a message to every judge in this country. You oppose us, we will destroy you and your family. And I think that put the fear of the devil in every honest judge in this country. And judges were very, very reluctant even to hear the evidence. I think you will see the last gasp of violence against honest people that are exposing the fraud and the deception. Because once it's been exposed, the only thing these tyrants have left is to rule by force. And you're going to see people dying of unnatural causes. You're going to see them attack people. But you know what? All it's going to do is build our team larger and stronger. It's not going to work for them. It's never worked in history, and it's not going to work now.
And that's why I am so grateful, folks, that we that Sam Andrews has been with us this entire episode. Folks, do yourself a favor. Go to HagmanReport.com/training or go directly to the Freedom Center USA. Again, the links will be in the program description box. Understand, Sam knows what he's talking about. Sam's got the ability to build the equipment. He's got the ability and personnel to train you or those people who you think would be good to have on your team. And we'll protect you in the event you can't do it yourself. And let's talk about the solutions and about how we are going to work through this cluster that we're seeing right now.
Well, Doug, we've talked in the past about some of the things I've done going around and lecturing. I have 211 executable action steps to prepare for difficult times in America. And I've traveled around the country giving this lecture to thousands of people. And I would love to give that to your listeners. It's a 5.5-hour presentation, but I would love to give that to your listeners over time if you think that's something that they would like to hear and something that they would like in small bites.
Leave your comments on Rumble or Brighteon or send them to me, Doug at HagmanReport.com. I think That's important to do. Sam, we're out of time. God bless you, my friend. I really appreciate your time here. Freedom Center USA, HagmanReport.com/training. Let's do this, my brother. And you come back.
Doug, thank you. Let freedom ring.
All right. God bless. Good night, everyone.